Amen. Stay standing this morning. I want to talk this morning about our Bibles and 10 benefits of reading your Bible. How many are glad for the Bible, the Word of Life? Amen. And we're going to talk this morning about 10 benefits of reading your Bible. There's a lot more benefits than that. So if I leave something out this morning, you're going to be flat out right, because I did leave something out. I can't share all of the benefits in one morning, but I'll give you 10 good ones this morning. The Bible says this: "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." Your laws, your teachings, your instructions. I meditate on it all day long. Say it with me this morning: "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you, Lord God, as we make your word our meditation, as we think on your word, Lord God, you'll change us from the inside out and let us become the people you've called us to be. So, Lord, these next few moments, speak to our hearts from your word, and I pray it in your holy name. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 Hold your Bibles high in the sky and say, "This is my Bible, the living and powerful, proven word of God, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, God's holy word on which I stand, and having done all, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Whatever the word of God says I am, whatever the word of God says I have, whatever the word of God says I can do, say with me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Amen. You may be seated. You sound like a bunch of believers. I like that. If you need a set of notes, hold up your hand long enough to get it. Already, you've already been served notes, but they'll give you a great framework for the message today. You'll actually be able to remember what was said if you'll take down notes, all right? Today we're going to talk about 10 benefits of reading your Bible. The psalmist said, "Oh, how I love your law." That's your teachings and your instructions. "I meditate," or "I think about it all day long." I want you to say it with me this morning: all day long. Now, think about this just for a moment, all right? The only way that you can think about God's word all day long is by reading God's word the first thing in the morning. You can't think about it all day long if you read it at the end of the day. Let me encourage you to read the word of God the first thing in the morning. In fact, every day that I get up, the first words that I see, and you've heard me say it because it's true, the first words that I see is not the sacramental B, it's the B-I-B-L-E. Can I get a witness? Amen? It's the first words that I read. I don't go to USA Today for my inspiration. I go to USA to get depressed. I don't read the Sacramento Bee to get lifted up. I go to the Word of God, and it's the first words that I see. Whether you read one verse, whether you read a chapter, whether you read in a reading plan, we always try to read through the Word of God. Read it the first thing in the morning. It'll set the heading on your day, all right? Now, so the only way to read the Word of God first thing in the morning is to have an appetite or a love for the Word of God, the same way that you have an appetite and a love for breakfast. How many of you love breakfast? A lot of you have already had breakfast, right? Come on, how many of you love breakfast? I look forward to breaking the fast, being without food for 12 hours, right? Coffee and a blueberry muffin and or... That's not really good. That's like eating sugar cake, but whatever. Herbalife. Yeah, you started out with Herbalife. My good friend here with the Herbalife t-shirt, man. Yep. And then all of that good stuff that you put in your body. Now, me, I love health food. That's why on Sunday morning I start out with oatmeal, and then I eat a little banana, so I get a little potassium, but then I roll over to McDonald's and I get my two-egg McMuffin special. They have a really good price on egg McMuffins on Sunday mornings or all the time, two for like half price. And then, because that gives me egg and some that Canadian bacon and a little protein. And if I'm really wanting to live on the wild side, I'll get the McGriddle sandwich. Oh, my goodness. Now, I preached against that for years because I said you should never eat food that has a logo on it, like an M on the bun. It has an M on it. So my brother, my twin brother, he said, "Perry, you are so wrong about that McGriddle." He said, "That is the best thing you'll ever eat." And I go like, "Really?" I said, "I won't eat it because it's just, you know, I don't know." He says, "Really? They worked on that for years to get the balance of maple syrup and everything just right in that little pancake they put on top. And then the egg, the thick egg, and then the sausage and the cheese with that little potato patty that is so good." And then I go like, I went out and tried it against my better judgment. I go like, "Oh man, you didn't tell the half of it. That was so good." Anyway, now, it is said that breakfast is one of the most important meals of the day because it refuels your body. But reading the Word first thing in the morning is the most important thing you do because it'll refuel your soul. So remember this, just as your body needs food, your soul needs food, and that soul food comes from the Word of God. If you want to be a soul man or a soul person, make sure that you're eating soul food from the Word of God. Can I get a witness here this morning? I don't know why I said that, but I spent 12 years in Detroit, and I eat some of the best food in the world. All right, now, there are so many benefits of reading your Bible, even more than we can share this morning, as I already said. But let's take a look at 10 great ones today, all right? Number one, the Word of God will strengthen your faith. It'll strengthen your faith. Say with me this morning, faith. Now, next Sunday, I'm going to begin a three-Sunday series on faith, hope, and love, all right? First three Sundays in October. I'm going to talk about the power of faith in your life. And then the next Sunday, we'll talk about the power of hope in your life. We all need hope. Then I'll talk about the power of love in our lives. But we'll do that in the next three Sundays. But suffice to say, reading the Word of God will strengthen your faith. It requires faith to please God. And even a little faith can remove mountains out of our way. And we walk by faith and not by sight. How do you know that we need to be people of great faith? Amen? But how does faith come? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Say it with me this morning. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith will increase as you read and receive the Word of God. So I want you to say this morning. I've said this so many times before. The word in is faith out. Say it with me. The word in is faith out. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. When you take in the Word of God, when you read it and you receive it, faith is going to come out of your lives. You're going to be walking by faith and not by sight. Secondly, here this morning, the Word of God will keep you from temptation. All right? Now, we live in a world that's full of all kinds of temptations, but the Bible says to get over them, hide God's Word in your heart. Memorize it, keep it in your heart. I've hidden or stored up your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. We live in a world that's filled with all kinds of temptations, plural. I'm not talking about a singular temptation here this morning. I'm talking about all kinds of temptations. And the minute you get over a few of them, they'll make more. Have you noticed that? So you've got to be always ready. And with the help of God's Word and the help of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome every temptation that comes in your way. Now, sometimes you might feel like you're the only one who's being tempted, but you're not alone by a long shot. I'll tell you what, sometimes feel like I'm the only person going through this kind of temptation. Nope, you're not alone. Say it with me this morning, I'm not alone. In fact, the Bible says no temptation has overcome you except is common to mankind. It's common. God is faithful, and he's going to not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. Isn't that good news? Amen? But when you are tempted, say with me this morning, when I am tempted, not if you are tempted, but when you're tempted, he's going to provide a way out so that you can endure it. Remember this about temptation. Temptation is not the sin. You're all tempted, but entering into temptation, that's where we sin. So God says, I'm going to give you the power to overcome temptation so you don't walk through the door of temptation. All right? So that's why we need to pray the Word on a daily basis. And when I say pray the Word, not only read the Word, but pray the Word. Can I get a witness here this morning? Pray it over your life. And one way you can pray is just to do what Jesus did. Lead us not, Jesus prayed this way, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Say it with me this morning, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Amen? Amen. The third thing this morning is this, God will give you life. Thank you, Lord God, for the life we have in him. You know what the devil's assignment against you was? Was to kill and steal and destroy. The Bible says this, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but Jesus said, I've come that you might have what? That you might have life and have it what? More abundantly, or life to the full. Jesus wants us to have life abundantly and eternally, life in all of its fullness. The enemy wants to rip you off every time, but God says this, the enemy wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. Let me prove it to you this morning. All right? How many of you know, I mean, some of you that have been on the road of life, the journey of life long enough, how many of you know if it wasn't for God's grace, the devil would have had you destroyed a long time ago? And how many of you with a lifted hand would say, I mean, it's the grace of God, but the devil wanted to kill me, but I know that God gave me life. And one of the reasons I'm here today is because of Jesus. Amen? He says, I've come that you might have life. So he'll give you life in all of its fullness. Now, you were born again into a new life by the Word of God. I don't know if you know this, but this is what the Word of God says. For you've been born again. How many are born again this morning? Amen. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. Who is the Word of God, by the way? It's Jesus. He's the living Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word of God is full of life. Amen. Anybody that thinks this is a dead book has never read it. Amen. I mean, you haven't read this book if you think it's a dead book. It's full of life. In fact, Jesus said this, "The words that I speak to you, they are full of spirit and life." They are spirit and they are life. There's a lot of great literature out there, a lot of great inspirational books you can read, but I'm telling you what, this is a God-breathed book full of the life of the Spirit. Can I get a witness? My words, they are spirit and they are life. How many are glad for the spirit and life we have in a word? Amen? Now, John said this about the Bible, "But all of these words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have what? Life in his name." All of these words, that means the Old Testament and the New, all of these words were written that you might believe in Jesus and that you might have life in his name. Hallelujah. So what am I trying to say this morning? The words of all the scriptures lead to life. Hallelujah. Amen. How many love the Word of God? Amen. Now, fourth this morning, the Word of God will give you hope. Say with me this morning, hope. Man, I'll tell you what, we all need hope. Hope is optimism. It's expectation. It's anticipation. All of those things. It's something good is about getting ready to happen. I was, when I was a little kid, in our little church in North Dakota, we lived in a little town called Cullom, North Dakota, population 600 people. So the sign would say hello and goodbye all in one sign. Amen. You just drove by it and you might have missed it. You know, welcome and see you later, all in one sign. But in our little church, we didn't have air conditioning back in those days. And by the way, the air is a little warm in here. Is it a little tiny bit warm or not? Just turn up the air a little bit. I don't know. We paid the bill. I know that. It was getting near the end of the service, and all of a sudden the pastor paused, and this is my little church where we went, and a little girl stood up and goes, "It's time to go to Dairy Queen." Amen. That was the only restaurant we had in town, was the Dairy Queen, the DQ, right? And she yelled it out, and everybody heard it, you know, and they all had a witness to that too. Can I get a witness? Amen. But what I was trying to say is, for a little kid, man, they're going to hope that they get an ice cream cone. And if they don't get the ice cream cone, their hopes are going to be dashed. Well, in a way bigger, that's anticipation, that's expectation. But in the bigger things in life, how many know that we have to have hope in our lives? Amen? How many of you, you might not have the answer yet, but you've got hope. Wave at me right now, amen? You've got to have hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Hallelujah. A longing fulfilled is a tree of life. God knows what you're hoping for, but he'll sometimes just give you that longing fulfillment, and it's just a wonderful thing. Simply stated, without hope, we are hopeless. Say with me this morning, without hope, we are hopeless. But here's the good news. Reading God's Word will give you hope. It'll give you encouragement. It'll give you endurance. It'll give you hope and so much more. In fact, I kind of put this on Facebook just the other day. It says this, "For everything that was written," look at this verse, "in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, we might have hope." Watch this. When you read your Bible, God's going to help you to endure and not to give up. How many ever had the Word of God help you not to give up, right? And then the second thing is going to encourage you. How many ever been encouraged by the Word? Amen? And then the Word of God will give you hope. Number five this morning is this, is the Word of God will set you free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to those who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What is truth? Jesus said, "My word is truth. Sanctify them by my word. My word is truth." So you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's the truth that you know that'll set you free. Well, what do we get set free from? Well, we get set free from lots of different things, but especially the slavery of sin. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." I didn't say that if you ever sin, you're a slave to sin, but when you continue to practice sin, you become a slave to sin. And how many of you know that God wants to break every chain that holds you back? He wants to set you free from every kind of bondage in the name of Jesus. Can I get a witness? Amen. Just a few weeks ago, Teen Challenge was here, and a ministry that we support, and they help for those that have been, you know, addicted to drugs. And they came in and shared their testimony how all of the psychologists and psychiatrists they went for didn't help them, but the power of God set them free. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. Now, number six this morning is this, is the Word of God is the key to answered prayer. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Hallelujah. If you abide in me and abide in my words abide in you. So the more the words of Jesus abide in you, the more effective your prayers will be, because your prayers will be in keeping with the Word of God and the will of God. Watch this. We want to pray in line with the Word of God and the will of God, but just to delight yourself in the Lord. How many love the Word of God? Amen. Pray in within the Word of God and the will of God, and I'll tell you what, your prayers will be answered. The Bible says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Say with me this morning again, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. How many are happy to be a believer this morning? Amen? Amen. Say with me this morning, delight. Amen. And I got to just take a drink of water. I preached this morning, just sweated like crazy in the second service, so I'll keep on moving here this morning, all right? Praise God. Now, when I was a kid, when I was about 21 years old, I was driving in an old car called a Ford Granada. It was a green Ford Granada. You don't even know what that is because it was a terrible car. And every car manufacturer has built a bad car, and that was one of Ford's bad cars, all right? But I had a green Ford Granada, six-cylinder engine. And I lived in a little town called Sisseton, South Dakota, a tiny little town, South Dakota. And the Pontiac dealer there had a brand new Firebird, 1983 Firebird, sitting there, brand new. And I looked at it, like, man, that is really a cool car. And I always wanted a Firebird or a Camaro, but I always wanted that. But it was going to be for someone else. It was never going to be for me. And so I just drove past that thing and saw it in the window. And then one day the dealer called me up and he said, Perry, he says, in this little farm town, he said, nobody buys these Firebirds. He says, they're all buying pickup trucks and so forth. But he says, I'd like you to have that Firebird. And if you'll bring in your green Granada, he says, we can sell that pretty fast, but I'd like to see in that Firebird. I said, let me just pray about that for a minute. Yes, I'll be right in there tomorrow, you know? And I went in there, and, you know, when you do dumb things when you're a kid, but I bought that car right away. Oh, that was so much fun. And here's what I found out. Not only will God give you the things that you want or that you need in life, he'll also give you the things that you want in life as well. He knows the desires of your heart. Can I get a witness here this morning? How many of you have had God not only bless you with things that you needed, but he blessed you with things that you wanted as well, and he kind of knew it, amen? Let me just ask you a question here this morning. How many of you ever blessed your children in a way like, not with just the things they needed, but with the things that they wanted too, right? Amen? And you got a kick out of that, right? God does the same thing for you, amen? I like what John Piper says. He says this, delight yourself in the Lord, or delighting in the Lord, in following his name and the seeking of his kingdom, the doing of his will, transforms our natural desires into God-related desires. In other words, we're praying now in line with the Word of God. That is what happens when the Word of Christ abides in us. Hallelujah. You ready for number seven this morning? The Word of God will give you wisdom. Now, the Bible says about wisdom. By the way, how many of you know there's a great advantage of having wisdom in your life, right? Wisdom is the principal thing. So said Solomon in Proverbs. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. There's a lot of people that have gone to college for a lot of years, but they don't necessarily have wisdom. That doesn't guarantee wisdom. There's a lot of people that don't have a lot of schooling at all, but they're very wise. Where does that wisdom come from? It comes from the Lord. The Bible says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If you need wisdom, you can get it from the Word of God and from God himself, because he said, if you ask for wisdom, he said, I'm going to give it to you if you just ask. Can I get a witness this morning? How many of you have ever needed wisdom from God and God gave it to you through his word or by his spirit or right just speaking to your heart? We need wisdom in our lives. Now, number eight, the Word of God, I love this one. The Word of God will give you crucial life-saving warnings, all right? He'll give you crucial warnings in your life. Now, In the last several weeks, the hurricanes that came through, Hurricane Harvey in Houston and Hurricane Irma in Florida, there were many lives that were saved. There was very low loss of life, if you notice. And it's because the warnings that went out before, they were listened to and they were heeded. And in the same way, we get warnings from Scripture that'll actually save our lives if we'll not only read them, but heed them. Can I get a witness here this morning? So the decrees of the Lord, the Bible says, are firm. All of them are righteous. How many would agree with that? Amen. They are more precious than gold and sweeter than honey, the honey from the honeycomb. And say with me this morning, God's word is sweet. And God's word is rich, amen? Richer than gold, sweeter than honey. How many believe that that's true, amen? How many love the word of God, amen? I mean, this book has so much value and so much worth. Anyway, it does. I remember once my grandfather, who was a Mennonite preacher back in the day in North Dakota. My dad was an Assembly of God preacher, but my grandfather was just a Mennonite preacher that was they weren't vocational preachers. They would fill in at the church. So he was like a farm preacher. He'd go up from church to church in North Dakota and preach the gospel. His name was Gus, because I haven't thought of him in a long time. And I didn't talk about him at the first two services. But he was a preacher, man. And he'd milk the cows and he'd farm all week and not make a lot of money. But boy, on Sunday, he was in his pickup truck. His international pickup truck with a starter on the floor. Turn on the key first, and then you press the floor button. Four speed, H pattern, taught me to drive it. It was an old truck when I was a kid. It wasn't new. It was an old then. But man, he'd go out and preach the gospel in his own way. Love the Lord. But I remember he came to our church one time to preach, and I was sitting on the front bench, and he brought a Bible to church one Sunday morning, and he put a $5 bill in it. A $5 bill. Are you kidding me? Back in the 60s, all right? It was a long time ago. A lot of money. And then he said to the kids, he was teaching the kids, he said, "Now, if I offered you this Bible, I'll give you a Bible or a $5 bill. Which one do you want to pick?" And so the kids were like, they know what the right answer is in church, right? But, I mean, they'd want both, actually. But he says, "Which one do you want to pick, the $5 bill or the Bible?" And I remember a little kid came up, and he chose the Bible, and everybody clapped. And he didn't take the $5 bill. He took the little Bible that he handed him. But then he says, "Now open up the Bible." And there was a $5 bill on the inside of the Bible. And he got the Bible and the blessing. Can I get a witness? Amen. In other words, what am I trying to say here this morning? The Word of God is sweet and the Word of God is rich. And it's filled with all kinds of blessings, but it's also filled with warnings as well. It says this, "By them, your servant, by the Word of God, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward." So how many know that the warnings from God, sometimes they say, "Well, God, your word is just so hard." Well, I'll tell you what, if you're getting a hard word from the Lord, listen to it and respond to it, because he says, "I want you to be blessed on the other side." Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. All right, forgive me for crying about my grandfather. I just thought about him, you know. But he was a sweet guy. Okay, then, have you ever had a check engine light go on in your car? And there's two ways that you can respond to a check engine light. First of all, you can ignore it, which I've been in some cars like, "Hey, the check engine light's, I know it's been on for a few months now," like that. "I'm going to get to it sometime." Meanwhile, your engine is burning up, you know what I'm saying? You can ignore it or you can do something about it. But when you choose to do something about it, you're saving yourselves from a world of trouble and a world of unnecessary expense. And the same way with the Word of God, when we read and heed the warning signs of the Word of God, the warning signs from the Word of God, we save ourselves from a lot of unnecessary hardship and needless pain. Oh, what needless pain we bear because we don't pay attention many times to what the Word of God has to say. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, amen all by myself. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. How many of you ever did, you wish you'd have listened to the Word instead of just kind of ignoring the Word? You wish you'd have listened the first time. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen? All right. You're all doing good this morning. We're at point number 9, right? Is that where we're at? Y'all listening really good. And I'm watching you this morning, and hardly anyone is falling asleep. It's really good. You know, I can see everything from where I stand right here. Everyone I can see who's falling asleep and who's not. If you're falling asleep, I just preach harder and longer to try to wake you up. Can I get a witness? Amen. Number 9, the Word of God will help you defeat the devil. The devil, by the way, is real, and the devil is stronger than we are on our own, and his aim is to deceive and destroy. So when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, Jesus relied on the Word of God. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness right after his baptism? He goes to the wilderness. He's tempted 3 times of the devil, and 3 times he replies with the Word of God. He says, "It is written." Say it with me this morning. It is written. How many of you know that when you're dealing with the devil, deal with the Word? Quote the Word of God to the devil. He doesn't understand anything else. He's just a father of lies. There's no truth in him at all. But quote the Word to the devil, and he'll flee from you. The only way to have the upper hand over the devil is to be armed with the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, he was talking about the armor of God. You know, he said, stand for him, put on the whole armor of God and all of that, that you might be able to stand. Then he said, stand firm then. Say with me this morning, stand firm then. And he talked about all these pieces. There are 6 pieces of armor. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to, put out all the darts of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Then he says this, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Say with me this morning, helmet of salvation. But here's what I want you to see this morning, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Say with me this morning, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hold your Bibles up just like this, all right? Man, I haven't done this for a long time. Get ready, all right? It's the sword of the Spirit. And when you take out the sword of the Spirit against the enemy, it's in your sheath right there, the sheath, right? And you go just like that, all right? It's called multi-S's with a P at the end, all right? Here we go, just like that. Ready? Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, just like one more time. Man, you're sounding good. Ready? One more time, just like that. And you come against the devil with the only offensive weapon you've got in the arsenal. All of the others are defensive, and they're all good. But the only offensive weapon that you have is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you come against the devil with the Word of God. Hallelujah. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. And then number 10, the Word of God will give you great peace and great joy. The Bible says, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing's going to make them stumble. Man, I love that. If you want peace in your life, we all need peace. We've got enough confusion, got enough anxiety, got enough all that other stuff, but we need peace in our lives, a peace that passes all understanding. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing will make them stumble. Say with me this morning, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing will cause them to stumble. Praise God, I can walk in peace today. No matter what might be going on in my life, I can be walking in peace. The other night, just like 2 nights ago, listen to this. 2 nights ago, I was listening. I got up at about 4 a.m, and I just couldn't sleep. You ever had a night like that? Where like, man, you needed the sleep, but you just couldn't sleep. Or you're restless, or your mind was going, whatever. And so I've got a little radio that's next to my bed with little headphones, you know, just a tiny little transistor radio kind of a thing. I listen to AM radio, talk radio, or preaching or whatever, and then it puts me back to sleep sometimes, you know. And so I grabbed for the headphones. I just can't sleep right now. I put on the headphones, and right in that moment, I mean in that moment, there was such a great Word of God being preached on from that radio. And sometimes I'll be listening to a news radio, but this was a Christian station radio, and it just the word that was preached in that moment was exactly what God had for me. I go like, my goodness, if I'd have been here 2 minutes earlier, I wouldn't have heard it, or 2 minutes later, I wouldn't have heard it. Exactly what I needed to hear and what I needed for my spirit right there, and it put me right at peace. Can I get a witness here this morning? God has a word for you that'll give you peace in the middle of the storm. If you believe that, say aloud, amen. And then joy, hallelujah. How many know that we all need more joy? Your words were found in me, the psalmist, or Jeremiah said, oh, I love this. And your words became to me a joy. Now, hey, everyone, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. So for Jeremiah to have joy, how many know that's a pretty big order, amen? Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. He said they became my joy and my delight. Hallelujah. Man, I'll tell you what, how many of you know we could use just a little bit more joy in the house? And God's word will give you joy, and his word will be your delight. If you believe that, say aloud, amen. Amen. Now, last thing, and we're coming in for the landing. Psalm 1 says this, and you know this psalm so well, out of the King James and New King James and all of that. Those are my favorite translations, although many of you use NIV. But I'm going to read it out of the Good News Bible this morning, since you're so familiar with the other one, all right? Happy are those who reject the advice of evil people, who do not follow the example of sinners, or join those who have no use for God. In other words, they don't sit in the seat of the scornful. They reject those who have no use for God. In other words, we want to hang out with non-believers, but I'm talking about people who are just like have no use for God. Hold on a second. Don't sit in that seat. Can I get a witness? Be a person of faith. How many of you know that anybody can be a critic? Hello? Anybody can be scornful. That's easy. But be a person of faith. Hallelujah. Instead, they find joy in obeying the law of the Lord. Say with me, they find joy in obeying the law of the Lord, and they study it day and night. They are like trees that grow beside a stream, the rivers of living water, that bear fruit at the right time and whose leaves do not dry up, and they succeed in everything that they do. Say with me this morning, they succeed in everything that they do. Hallelujah. If you're a lover of the word and you go deep into the word, God says this, I'm going to help you through every season of life. You're going to be succeeding in everything that you do. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. You're going through tough time, stay in the word. God's going to get you through the tough time, and he says, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be fruitful, and you're going to be successful at whatever you do. Can I get a witness this morning? Amen. A lot of people, sometimes they feel like, man, if I'm just out of the will of God, if I just feel like I'm just out of the will or just not in the right place or whatever, you might not even be in the right place and God will bless you. I'm not talking about running from God now, but I'm talking about like, man, God, I don't know if I'm where I'm going to be or where I'm supposed to be yet or whatever. No, but it says you just stay in the word. God says, I'm going to bless you right where you're at. Whatever you do will prosper. Are you hearing this morning? I was in between ministries early in my when I was in my 30s, and I actually had three places to go. I would have been glad to have one place to go. But I had three places to go, and I called up an old veteran minister, and he was old because he was older than me. I was 30, you know, so he wasn't that old. But he was a veteran minister. And I said, I just don't know what I should do. I don't want to get it wrong. It's like box number one, box number two, box number three. Which one do I pick? In other words, I don't want to miss God. And he says, Perry, you're overcomplicating this. He says, read Psalm 1. He says, do you love the Lord? And do you abide in his word? Then he says, read verse 3. What does it say at the end of verse 3? He says, whatever you do will prosper. Can I get a witness here this morning? You might not be working at the job you want to work at. You might not be doing the thing, but I'm talking about you stay in the word and you stay faithful to God. And he says, I'm going to see that everything works out. Everything you do is going to prosper. Can I get a witness here this morning? Hallelujah. Give the Lord great praise this morning. Would you do that? Amen. That's the word. And the great conclusion is this. In other words, we've talked about one thing this morning. We've talked about the word. One thing we've talked about the word, but we've talked about it in 10 different ways. And there is more that we could talk about. Suffice to say, here's the great conclusion. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Say it with me this morning. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Give the Lord a hand again of applause of praise for his word. Amen? Amen. Stand with me all across the room this morning. I want to ask you to do something. I'm going to give you a challenge today, all right? Are you up to a challenge, all right? And this is not for you to go like, oh, man, I just can't do that, because you can do it. What I'm getting ready to ask you, you can do it. Say it with me this morning, I can do it. Let me challenge you this morning. This is not a, like, you have to do this or you have to do this, but let me challenge you to do this. Every single day that you get up, read the Word of God and try to read it the first thing. The first thing that you grab for is not your smartphone with the news or your bank account balance or anything like that. You're not going to have a bank account balance if you don't have God. Can I get a witness? Amen. So I'm just saying, grab for let your word, let your eyes see the word of God, and it'll do something. Even if it's just the verse of the day on YouVersion, whatever it might be, but get started right there. Be in a Bible reading plan, but every single day. I'm not talking about a day here and a day there, or a week here and a week. Forget that stuff. You're better than that. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're better than that." Man, I'm going to get preaching here in just a second. I get all these people that go like, "I just can't read my Bible. I just can't stay with it." Oh, yes, you can. Grow up. Can I get a witness? And just grow up. I just get started, and I just can't do it. I just can't. But you go to Starbucks every day. What's wrong with you? Here's how you do it. You open it up, and you read it. Then they go, "Oh, I just can't understand the word." Yes, you can. You're smarter than that. You understand calculus. You understand chemistry. You understand everything that your job wants you to understand. You can understand the word of God. That's the devil telling you a lie. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You've got a good brain in your head. God made you. God didn't make you to not understand anything. He made you to understand something. Hallelujah. God gave me a good brain. I can understand this. If I don't get it figured out, I'll take a second pass at it. So when I say I'm challenging you, be in the Word every single day, I'm just saying, even if it's just one scripture, but every day, I'm talking about how many days? 365 days a year. Every single day. And do it first thing in the morning. And if you forget it by morning, then get it at noon. But get a morning habit. Because you can't meditate on the word all day long if you don't start out at the beginning of the day. Can I get it? Just like we said at the beginning. Wow, this preaching is, it'll save your soul. Be a word person. Father in heaven, we love you so much. I got to stop. But thank you, Lord God. Lord, we want to be people of your word, people of prayer, people of the Spirit, people after the heart of God. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us today in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless your people, Lord God. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. We're just trying to do right by you. We want to serve you from the heart, Lord God. We want to be children, Lord God, that you can look on with and smile. And Lord, I just pray right now that you'd let each one of us, Lord God, let the word of Christ dwell richly on the inside of us. And we just pray this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I just pray for every person this morning to become even much more of a person of the Word of God, to let it dwell richly in each one. I pray in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing this song as a prayer, and then I'm going to bless you, all right?